This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Chris Strong in the studio this morning. And like every other day of the week at 8 a.m., in half an hour, we have the breakfast grill. Noel, what is happening this morning?
Lin Mark will be speaking with Raja Singham, the CEO of Brickfields Asia College. You may recall that Brickfields College was established as a law school shortly before the Asian financial crisis. But despite, you know, facing quite hard times, it has managed to evolve and become Brickfields Asia College, BAC, now known as that. And they are offering a wide range of courses such as computer science. And I also know the colleges sit on very prime property in PJ and Brickfields, right? If the education business does not work out in the long term, for sure, property would be a good business.
Right, and that's happening in half an hour at 8 a.m. on the breakfast grill. But right now, let's talk about interest rates. In the U.S., Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, has said that the central bank is not currently considering negative interest rates. He acknowledges that there are fans of the policy, as he said. I wonder who those fans are. And we know one of them is U.S. President Donald Trump, who has been persistently calling for negative rates. Yet futures contracts implied investors expect the Fed funds rate could be negative in 2021.
This is not good for retirees or people who hold a lot of cash, because negative interest rates means that depositors, people like you and me, will have to pay the bank for keeping our money there.
Yes, in fact, with the lower rates, I know people who are in their retirement who rely on FD income who have now seen that drop. Now, for more on the concept and the feasibility of negative interest rates, we speak to Joe Kalish, Chief Global Macro Strategist at Ned Davis Research. Joe, are you there on the line with us? Joe?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, I guess. And so currently, markets appear to be pricing in negative Fed fund rates for 2021. Do you think this is likely, despite Jerome Powell's comments to the contrary?
No, I don't think it's likely, but I do think it's possible. The Chair Powell and other Fed officials have said the Fed is not considering going to negative interest rates, as you just mentioned. And under most economic scenarios, negative interest rates would not be an option. But under a deflationary outcome, negative rates are possible. With the economy already in recession, the unemployment rate soaring, demand collapsing, and lower oil prices, price pressures will be minimal at best in the near term. So I can't rule it out. But deflation needs to be sustained, and 1 or 2 months won't do it.
Well, what would it take for Jay Powell to actually accede to what the market wants? Obviously, there's something that Donald Trump also wants in a big way.
Yeah, I'm not sure. President Trump understands all the implications of what he's saying, but I think the key indicator for Chairman Powell are inflation expectations, not just the actual change in prices. So, inflation expectations have to move into negative territory for a sustained period of time before he and the Fed, I think, would even consider moving to a negative rate policy.
Some countries like Japan and parts of Europe were already in negative rate territory before the pandemic and for many years, actually. So, but they have actually not seen at least from my perspective, they have not, it has not really helped supercharge their economies. So would negative rates be effective in the U.S.?
I don't think so. And there are risks as well. I think as you look at it, other central banks have begun to question the efficacy of negative rates. There were ample opportunities to do so during the current COVID-19 crisis. Both the ECB and the BOJ opted not to take their policy rates down further into negative territory. Sweden's Riksbank at the end of last year reversed course from negative territory to zero. The Danish Central Bank raised rates 15 basis points in March from a record low, minus 75 basis points. So I think there's a lot of question marks out there about the effectiveness of negative rates, and I'm skeptical that they would work in the U.S.
Well, nonetheless, Joe, real rates have traded and flirted with negative territory the last few weeks. How are you advising your clients to position themselves ahead of this possible development?
Yeah, so what we have The stance we have been taking is to remain slightly long our bond exposure. So we call that, you know, duration. So we're slightly above the benchmark on duration. We've also recommended investors take positions in TIPS or the inflation protected securities, which is actually a really interesting way of protecting assets, because you're protected both from inflation and deflation. So sort of regardless of which way the inflation ends up, you can be protected with TIPS. So you're going to get principal protection with a TIP if we get deflation, and if we get inflation, you're going to be protected against that period of rising inflation. So those are two of the things that we've been advising clients to do.
Those two strategies you just described, Joe, what kind of yield expectations can an investor expect?
Yeah, not very much these days, but still higher in the U.S. than in other parts of the world. But with rates where they are, we're looking at about 62 basis points on the 10-year Treasury. I'm close to about 130 on a 30-year. You're not really getting a whole lot, and the TIPS yields are all in negative territory today. So this is really more about capital preservation and preservation of purchasing power than it is on making tremendous returns on investments at this point.
Yeah, Joe, overall, it seems like returning to pre-GFC or global financial crisis rate seems almost an impossibility at this point. It seems hard to exit from this low rate environment or even the idea of a negative rate environment. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's true. The ECB never intended to have negative rates for almost 6 years. In the U.S., after failing to achieve its mandate, the Fed reversed course last year with 3 rate cuts after 9 consecutive rate hikes. So I think the Fed will be very reluctant to implement rate hikes given the experience of the last tightening cycle. And that means the central bank will have unlearned this idea of being preemptive and instead wait for inflation to move above its target before tightening policy.
So I was actually going to ask you, when do you think the Fed will raise interest rates? I mean, when do you think inflation will go up to that target level that they want to hit? I think it's 1.2%.
It'll be years. It's possible that 10 years from now, we can maybe see all the implications of the accommodation coming through. And it really sort of hinges on the millennials, if they come back and move into a traditional spending role, where that age group would be is usually your prime spending years, and you've had a massive amount of stimulus and low interest rates, and so therefore the private sector starts demanding more credit. That's how you could see some inflation happen. But at that point, essentially you would have needed to have closed the output gap, or the economy essentially would have needed to have recovered from this giant hole that we've dug ourselves into right now.
All right, Joe. So just to end this, how would negative rates affect the everyday consumer? I think there's a bit of a knowledge gap in terms of the real world applications here, or at least the impact on the ground.
Yeah, it's a good question. Although the everyday consumer might be shielded from negative interest rates directly, they might see added fees to offset the higher costs to the bank. Consumers may still feel the effect of what we call financial repression, or when the interest on savings is less than the inflation rate. And as a consequence of low returns, savers must save more in order to meet wealth targets. On the other side, borrowers benefit through lower interest payments and a reduction on debt service costs. So financial repression actually favors borrowers over savers. So those are the two biggest impacts on everyday consumers. But there are some others as well. Low rates can also coerce investors to take risks they wouldn't normally want to take, which could lead to overvalued assets and potential bubbles and financial instability. And persistently negative rates could also reduce the effectiveness of monetary policy. And I think we're seeing that play out in the Bank of Japan and in the ECB. And, so those are some of the ways I think that could affect the everyday consumer.
All right, Joe, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. That was Joe Kalish of Nat Davis Research. I think really breaking down at the end there the real world implications of negative rates. Also mentioning the fact that he doesn't think that President Trump understands what he's asking for. But at the same time, that ending part there, that last question, there are a lot of things. You're basically punishing people for saving money.
Yeah, but that's been the case since 2009 when people, when central banks around the world started giving easy money and basically punishing borrowers. And you're right, Donald Trump doesn't understand a lot of things, and it seems incredible that he's the president of the world's biggest superpower. At a real level, I think economists like negative interest rates because it means also that your product from your country becomes cheaper overseas, and that obviously drives manufacturing. But in terms of fund flows, assets, people will just leave your country and look for better returns elsewhere, and maybe even do carry trades, right? Because you borrow money cheap or for free in your country, then you go and buy assets abroad, and that means real capital flows, which is exactly the opposite of what Donald Trump wants in the first place.
Yeah, so negative interest rates on savings, it encourages people to invest in other assets, right?
Yeah.
The stock market, the property market, and really, I think the last 10 years, because of the boom in the stock market was really attributed to low interest rates.
Yeah, no, that thing he talked about basically with low rates, the risk on mode has come back, and it could lead to some irresponsibility in the financial markets. But let's wait out and see what happens. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll be speaking to Gayathri Venkateswaran, Assistant Professor of Media and Communications at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, on media coverage of the upcoming parliamentary sitting. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.